7th chapter of Hebrews, a statement about faith in the first couple of verses. And then we saw in the 4th verse, Abel and his faith. And we call this the sacrifice of faith. Abel offered an animal sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. Cain did not. He offered the works of his own hands, vegetables. Was not a bloody sacrifice. God did not accept his. So it was a non-acceptable faith. So we have the sacrifice of faith. Now, it takes a sacrifice to save us. And this is what the writer to the book of Hebrews is talking about. Once you're saved, then you can begin to walk by faith. And we saw last time about Enoch and his walk of faith. After there's a sacrifice and we believe in the payment that Jesus Christ made, then we can begin to walk by faith. And we saw how Enoch was a tremendous man, and even in the evil generation that he was in, he walked by faith so much that God took him. He was just walking along with God one day, and all of a sudden he just went up and he did not see death. Now, we don't know exactly where he is. We don't know where his body is, but the Bible says that God took him, that he would not see death. And he was not. They couldn't find him. And we don't know what happened to his body. But Enoch is the picture of a walk by faith. And tonight we want to see Noah, the work of faith. Noah, the work of faith. Now, once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you begin to walk by faith, then you can work. It's amazing how people get the cart before the horse. They want people to work to be saved. No. Since you're saved, you have the privilege of working for God. And it makes all the difference in the world when you are walking by faith that you will be producing. And so he has a logical sequence here, as it should be in our own lives. There should be a production or a work of faith. We should work as now that we're saved. It will not save us. It will not help us to be saved. It will not help us to stay saved. But there should be production. This is basically what James is talking about in his little book. So faith that works. We ought to have that kind of faith that will produce. And here Noah is that kind of a man. Now it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You see, he's already given us a statement about faith back in the first verse. Now, faith is the substance, or actually the assurance or the reality of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof or the conviction of things not seen. And we have here Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. You see, Noah believed God. Noah had never in all of his life seen a boat. He had never seen it rain. God says, Noah, build a boat. It's going to rain. There's going to be a big flood on this earth. There's going to be lots of water. God said it. Noah says, okay, I believe it. And he began to nail. He began to build that ark. There are some other passages of Scripture. Well, it says he built the ark and he prepared the ark to the saving of his house, the delivering of his house, those who were in his household, his three sons, their four wives, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now I want you to turn back toward the back of your Bible to 2 Peter. The second chapter is just a few pages toward the back of your Bible. And look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if, and it's true, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but saved Noah, The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the, what? Ungodly. Now here's Noah, who was the eighth person, or he was the eighth in the genealogy, and he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached. And we'll see when we get to Genesis chapter 6 that he preached for 120 years. He built an ark for 120 years. He worked on that boat for 120 years. You know, somebody does a job that long, you think, and you don't see any clouds, and you don't see any rain, and you don't see any flood for 120 years. Some people would finally give up, wouldn't they? Some of you would probably have given up the first week or the first month. Some of you would have lasted a year, fizzled out, you know, if we do that, don't we? Yes, sir. God says, all right, I want you to do certain things, and we start doing those things, and we get a little bit bored with them sometimes. We see other people around us, and they aren't doing it, so we say, well, why should we? Suppose Noah had given up, and Noah had quit preaching and going. Noah had quit building on that ark somewhere along the way. It's sort of tough, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't. It just completely annihilated the whole human race. But he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly. Delivered just Lot, saved Lot, vexed with filthy manner of life of the wicked, and so on and so forth. What you wanted to get was that fifth verse where Noah, who God didn't spare the old world, God didn't spare him. He pulled out judgment. God's going to pull out judgment again, just like he always has. He pulled out judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? They're wicked. He pulled out judgment on Noah's world. Now, you just think just a moment. When was the worst time the world has ever known as far as sin and wickedness is concerned? During Noah's time. Up until this point, there never has been a generation or peoples anywhere in the world who were as bad or are as bad as they were in Noah's day. Now, there have been cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. There have been other cities that have been completely destroyed and annihilated by God. There have been peoples, there have been races, but not everybody in all the world. But in Noah's day, everybody was destroyed but eight people. Now, they were wicked. God destroyed them. And not only were unbelieving, but they were very licentious. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 36. It's on page 1035. But an hour of that day, an hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so is it going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what were they doing in the days of Noah? They were. The Bible says they were eating. You know what it means to eat? It's taking in food. They were drinking. That doesn't mean that they were living it up on booze. They were just eating and they were drinking what goes along with it. Milk. Orange juice. Whatever they had. I don't know. What? might have had a little juice. They might have found the recipe. I don't know. As far as we know, they hadn't found it yet. Not till Noah got off of the ark did they find the recipe. But they were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying. Is anything wrong with marrying? And so you think it's not. In fact, you'd like to partake of it right now or a little later on. Nothing wrong with that. In other words, it was business as usual. Everything was going along fine, they thought. But what had happened? Just left God completely out. Just complete rebellion against God. Just complete turned him off. No thought for God whatsoever. You know, it's amazing. We've got a lot of people, even in our town here, who have children, and they wouldn't dare let that child miss a day of school if they got a little runny nose or a little problem, you know. They got to go to school, but you know, when it comes time to church, now if there's the least little thing wrong, well, they can't go there. Just the least slightest little thing will stop them from going to church. But they'll insist that they go, so they got to be dying. They got to have one leg cut off and the other one almost off while they stop them from going to school. And then they'll almost shove them out the door. I wonder why. Well, I tell you, I won't mind to get all they can get. Now, if they got to miss something, they're going to miss school. They're not going to miss this. They're not going to miss the teaching of God's Word. If they do, I'm going to know why. If they go to church and get sick, have to miss school all week, fine. Now, I won't mind to get an education. I'm going to do the very best I can to teach them and to train them to read and to write and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to insist that they know what the Word of God says. That's the first on the list as far as learning and understanding and knowing is concerned for me. And that's what Noah tried to do. But no one listened. Now I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 6. And chapter 5 we saw Enoch. And we saw his walk of faith. In chapter 6 we've got Noah. And I suppose Noah is probably one of the most well-known figures in all the world. Most everybody knows about Abraham. A lot of people know about Jonah. But most everybody knows about old Noah and the flood. You just can't hardly find anybody that hadn't heard about Noah. Why? His work of faith. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born of them, that the sons of God, and this is a word that's used for angels all through the Bible, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair or they were beautiful, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. And, in other words, angelic beings taking wives of men, or women, not men, but women, human women. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, he did strive with him, and this is an intensive thing here. The word strive there is an intensive. Intently strove with man there for a while, 120 years we'll find. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, we have a lot of evangelists say that, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to always strive with you. And they use this verse of Scripture right here, Genesis 6:3. My spirit not always strive with it. But they leave off the last little half, you know. But he's going to strive with you for 120 years. Well, if the Holy Spirit strives with you 120 years, most of you are saved. Because you're not going to live quite that long. I've heard this past week about some people who lived to be 150 and one, I think, 162 or something like that over in England a while back. But most of you are not going to have problems. If he strives with you for 120 years, you're all right if you aren't saved. You'll have plenty of time. But he says, my spirit will not always strive man, but his day shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore unto them, and bore children to them, is what it really literally means. Children is in italics, but that's what it's talking about. The same became mighty men who were of old men of renown. Now, this is the big problem. We have angels taking women for their wives and having children. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thought and their heart were only evil what? Continually. In other words, we saw that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They were going on business as usual. And yet, in their business as usual, their thoughts and their imaginations were only evil continuously. Everything they thought about was evil, was in rebellion against God. God had no place in their life. There was nothing in their plans for God at all whatsoever. And notice it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Remember back in Genesis earlier when he said God created the heaven and the earth, and what he saw, it was all good. What he had created was good. But now he says he saw that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart were evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowl, therefore it repented me that I have made it. But, and this is the only thing that saved the human race, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. And I'm sure this must have been saving grace. Same kind of grace is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. We had Enoch walking with God. Now we've got Noah walking with God. And Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth also was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. As we said, this is next to the, well, this is the worst time the world has ever known. There will be a time in the future that will be worse than this. The Bible says during the Great Tribulation, the 7 years of Great Tribulation, it's going to be the worst time that the world has ever known and ever will know. But that's to come yet. As far as the past is concerned, during Noah's day, there's nothing to compare with it. And yet here's old Noah, a righteous man. He's standing there and he's building on the ark. And you just think for a moment what he tells about the ark here. He had the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt and filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh were corrupted, had corrupted his way upon the earth. All the people had corrupted the way of God. They had left him. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth, but make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms, divided up into rooms, shall thou make in the ark. And shall pitch it within and without. The word pitch is the same word as we have for atonement, to cover. Cover it, inside and out. The word atonement means to cover. Their sins were covered by the Day of Atonement. They put blood on the mercy seat. Their sins were covered. And he said, cover the ark inside and out. And this is the fashion that thou shalt make of it. And he gives the dimensions of it, and so on and so forth. Verse 17, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is on earth shall die, total destruction. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives' sons with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of the sort, so on and so forth. And notice verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What is this? Work of faith. Noah is doing all that the Lord had commanded him. He had listened to him. And God's going to take care of him. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee, and only thee, actually. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And then he goes on and tells about the animals. Of the clean animals thou shalt take in three by thee by seven, and so on and so forth. And then in verse 4, and yet seven days I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did. Notice verse 5. And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. In other words, Noah is producing. Noah is working. He's doing what God has said all through here. Noah, the production of faith. In verse 7, Noah went in and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of the clean animals, of the beasts that are not clean, and the fowls, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. And then notice, it says in verse 11, well, actually, Noah goes in into the ark, and God shuts the door. Now, if we had time, we could go on and read the rest of this. We could see there how that God told him to go in to he and his family. And when God told Noah to build the ark, he told him to put how many doors in there? Just one. You see, the ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Outside is a place of wrath. God says, I'm going to have to pour out my wrath upon all the earth. Now, Noah, you build this ark, and you build it exactly as I tell you, to the exact specification. And the Bible says he did it just exactly like he said. You know, it's a strange thing. You get to thinking about this ark. How long did it take him to build it? 120 years. When he first laid the keel, the first planks down for the ark, if he had planted a tree, just think about it for a moment. By the time he got to the top deck, he could have cut that tree that he planted and make timbers out of it to make the top deck. 120 years. Now, a tree can get pretty good size in 120 years, can't it? Why, today, the termites would eat the bottom up before we got to the top. But God preserved. He just got to building, got to working. He and his three sons, they kept hammering, they kept building, kept hewing. Now, I doubt if he had any help in 120 years, four people can do a lot of work. They don't have any layoff time, no unions to strike, and all this kind of thing. Just kept working and kept preaching. Working and preaching. Working and preaching. Nobody listened. Didn't stop him. Didn't stop him. Why? Because Noah's producing. Noah is doing what God says. Yes, Lynn? Yeah.
Why did he preach?
or people need to know. Same reason why you should preach today. Same reason you should witness. Everybody you talk to, they're going to be saved. What did God say? He says, go ye to all the world, preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Is every creature going to believe? No. Still got to tell them. You see, it's our responsibility to do what? Tell them. It's not your responsibility to win them to Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to tell you. My job is to make it plain and simple and clear to you where you can understand it. My job is to bathe it with love and with prayer. And it's your job to respond. And you see, God had one preacher. He used it. He gave him 120 years to work. I don't know how long he's going to give you. I don't know how long he's going to give me. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians, it's required in a steward that he do what? Be found faithful. Found faithful. This is what we are to do. We're to be faithful in doing whatever job God has for us to do. We're to be found faithful when we have that opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. We're just to be faithful in giving out God's word simple and plain and clear. As we said this morning, putting it down on the bottom shelf where everybody can hear and understand. Take it in. Receive. If they don't take it, that's their responsibility. You can't cram it down their throat. You can't make them be saved, but you sure can give it out to them. And this is our responsibility. That was Noah's responsibility. He worked at it. He walked by faith, and he was doing what he was supposed to do. And the same thing will be true for you and for me when we walk by faith. There will be production. You may be saved and not produce much. Maybe none at all. As a thief on the cross, he didn't have time to do much producing, did he? The only reason why he has produced anything is because the gospel writers told us about him, and there have been people who have been saved through that testimony in the Word of God. But he didn't ever give a testimony himself. But there have been results through his testimony. Yes?
It says in chapter 6, verse 9, it says,
perfect means mature. He was perfect. He had a righteousness from God by faith, yes. But he was mature too. He walked by faith. A mature Christian is one who has been walking by faith for some time. You've learned the principles of God's Word, and you've learned to walk by faith. This will bring maturity. You can't stay a babe very long if you're walking by faith. If you're learning to trust God, you're going to grow. Because as you learn from God's Word and certain things that God wants you to do, you'll keep on doing those things. And as you study God's Word, and as you listen to God's Word being taught, you're going to learn other things, and you start applying those things to your life. You see, then you begin to grow and grow and grow, and first thing you know, you become mature. But the person who never walks by faith, the person who never lives the normal Christian life, they just trust Jesus Christ of dying, buried, and rose again the third day to pay for all their sins, and they said, that's all it is to it. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters. Well, that's enough to get you to heaven. But that's not enough to make you mature and happy. You will never be happy until you learn to walk the walk of faith as Enoch did. Now, I don't say to the magnitude that Enoch did. But when you begin to walk by faith as Enoch walked with God, as Enoch did what God wanted him to do and God had told him to do, then you will logically proceed, as the book of Hebrews says, then there will begin to be production. You show me a man who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, I'll show you a man who's producing for God. Can't be any other way. You show me a man who's not walking in the Spirit, who's not controlled by God the Holy Spirit, who's not depending on God the Holy Spirit to give him the power to live as God wants him to live, and the power to do is what God wants him to do, and to understand what God wants him to know and to do. I'll show you a man who's not producing. There's just no way. It's just opposite, that's all. It's impossible to produce without walking by faith. But it's impossible to walk by faith and not produce. That's the reason why we talk about this so much. That's the reason why we emphasize the walk of faith so much. Because we know when we get people to walking, you just can't help but produce. You get a healthy tree out here, and you give that tree enough fertilizer and enough water, and that tree and enough sunshine, that tree's going to produce fruit. You put a plant out in the field, and you cultivate, and you take all the weeds out, and you put fertilizer on that tree or that plant, and you get water to that plant, and that sun comes out, it's going to produce something. If it's a normal, healthy tree. Unless it's a hybrid of some kind. And you're not sterile. You're not a hybrid. There can be production in your life. And this is what God wanted for Noah. And Noah produced by faith. Well, as we said, there was only one Noah in the ark. Noah didn't argue about it. You know, he could have said, God, you're going to bring me in here, and my wife, she's going to get after me. I need a door to get out the other side. He didn't say that. Suppose all those animals get on the rampage. How am I going to get out of here if they got the door blocked? I don't you think we need another door out? No, God says, just need one door. He said, okay. He went into the ark. All the animals came in. God shut the door. Now, how did God shut the door? I don't know. He just shut the door. Noah didn't argue with him about it. I'm not going to argue with him about it. He stayed in there for a year, and finally it was all over with. Everybody was destroyed except Noah and their family. They came out of the ark. God told them to replenish the earth. They started working on it. Start all over, new whole civilization. Got a fresh start. Well, we messed it up again. You know, it's a good thing that when we go to heaven, we're going to have our glorified bodies. Because, you know, if God took us to heaven like we are, we'd mess that up too. Just like we mess this earth up. But thank the Lord that one day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the cloud, He's going to change this vile body, this mortal body, into an immortal body. The corruptible bodies who died and gone on, they're going to be resurrected incorruptible. And we're going to have a glorified body, a body that won't sin anymore and that won't mess up God's heaven when He builds that new heaven and that new earth that we're going to talk about next Sunday night with Abraham. Abraham has kept looking for that city. We've talked about this city several times. We'll see next time Abraham and Sarah's faith, how they learned to trust God. We need to do the same thing. This is not something that you have a blind faith in. We don't have a blind faith. We have faith in reality. We have faith in concrete facts. Things that God has said to be eternally true. And we are not though as those who wander around in darkness, not knowing where we're going and not knowing what we trust in. We know in whom we have believed. And we are completely persuaded that what we have committed unto Him, He's able to keep and to take care of. And we've committed our souls unto Him, our eternal destination. And He's a great God who can take care and supply and get us to heaven. Are you walking by faith? Do you have a production? Or do you have a work of faith? If you're trusting God, if you're walking as He wants you to walk, you will have a ministry. And there will be production. And that's all we want. Because then you'll be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. We have never asked anybody to glorify this congregation or this preacher or anybody connected with it. The only thing we've ever asked anybody to do is that's to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify Him in everything that you do. And if you ever hear me say anything other than that, please call me down. Because I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Let's bow for prayer.